Noach needed help to support him. Avram Hoimer, Hashem Hishalachti Lefanav. Noach needed help, and Avram Avinu was Neschazik Me'elov, the Tzidkai. So the Shem Yishmuel asks the question, L'chaira, the Torah is made on Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik Tomin Hoya. It's a Tzadik Tomin, that means he was complete. So what's the pshat that he needed help, he wasn't able to do it on his own? By Avram, he was able to do it on his own, but Noach was, it's mashmi, he was lacking something. So the Shem Yishmuel says that Noach was not really lacking in Madrega. Noach was Taka Tzadik Tomin. But there was a difference between Avram and Noach in this respect. They both possessed the Midah of Anovit. By Avram Avinu, it says, V'noichi Ofer V'efer. The Medrash says about Noach, Noach said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ravayinu Shalom. I bet some I'm not Roy for this being saved, just like everybody else, but with your special chesed, you saved me. He had the Madrega of Anovit. But Avram Avinu, together with the Anovit, had a tremendous Gvuras Hadas, a tremendous steadfastness. The Rambam calls him Eishon. Actually, the Pasuk calls him Eishon HaEzrachi. Eishon means he was steadfast. The Rambam calls him, he was the Amud HaOlam, he was the pillar of the world. There was a certain strength about him. So despite the fact that he had Anovit, the strength was not in stira to his Anovit. You find that Moshe Rabbeinu gave a special bracha to Yeshua, HaKoyosh Yachamei Hatzas Meraglim. So Tagnayin says when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Anova of Yeshua, he gave him a special bracha, HaKoyosh Yachamei. Why is that? Because an Anova has a tendency to give in to others. So he was afraid that Yeshua, with his Anova, would give in to the other Meraglim. So Avraham Avinu did not have that problem. Together with the fact that he was an Anova, he had a tremendous Gvuras Hadas, and he was able to be Avram HaYivri, Avram Be'Ever Echad, B'chol Olam Kuli Be'Ever Shein. He was able to stand up to the world. He was able to battle against the entire world. He was able to be Melichiach, the rest of the world. Noach, on the other hand, he had Anova, but he didn't have the same Gvuras Hadas. In Madrega, he was on a high Madrega. But the Gvuras Hadas, to be able to fight the battles, to be able to stand up to the challenges, he wasn't able to do. He had to isolate himself from humanity, not to have such a shaychus of humanity, and that way he wouldn't have to withstand the pressures of humanity. And because of that, he wasn't able to be mashpia on them. He wasn't able to be mechia on them. Avraham Avinu was a man amongst the people. And Avraham Avinu was able to withstand that because despite the fact he was amongst people, he had the Gvuras Hadas to be able to overcome any challenges from the people. Noach was missing that nekuda of Gvuras Hadas. He was not the Eson. And you wouldn't call him the Amud HaOlam. He didn't have that strongness. He had to isolate himself from people. That was the sad that he needed. He needed help to be isolated with Hashem. But to be amongst the people, he couldn't have a relationship with them, a normal relationship. And Memele, he wasn't able to be Mechiach them the way Avraham Avinu was Mechiach his door. It says, Mikol HaBehema HaTahira Tikach L'cho Shiva Shiva Ish V'Ishtoi Umer HaBehema Shaloi Tahira Shnaim Ish V'Ishtoi. So Rashi says over there, HaTahira HaAsida Li Yais Tahira. I mean, at the time of Noach, there was no kosher animals or non-kosher animals. So what's kosher and was tahira and not tahira? Asida li is tahira li Israel. Lamadnu she lomad noyach tahira. It teaches me that Noach learned tahira. So the Re'eim asks a question. Why did Rashi say over here lomadnu she noyach lomad tahira? There's a Gemara Masech Tzvachim Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. When it speaks about behemoth hatahiras and loy tahira. So the Gemara says over there, two man d'amrim, that the animals that were supposed to come into the Teva accepted them. Those that were not allowed into the Teva isolated them. So another Mandomer says the animals that were supposed to come came on their own. So Mehecha Tensi, that Noach learned Teva. Maybe Noach didn't know the difference. He didn't know what was what, but the Teva, Memela was Koilit, what had to be taken in. And, or the animals came in on their own. There's two Mandomer. Rashi himself, like he puts the two Mandomer together. And he quotes this Chazal in Zvachim Dab Kuf Tes Zayin. So what's the Hechruch that Noach learned Torah? So the Reim asks this question, why is Rabbi Yishayla? The Chizkuni says the following. The Chizkuni says there was two different dinyanim over here. One inyan is, what's a kosher animal? What's not a kosher animal? So now Rashi says, Mikan shenayach lama tayr. Nayach lama tayr, he knew what was kosher, what was not kosher. The Gemara over there, and if you look at the lashon of the Gemara, it's mashma like that. It's dealing with a different inyan. How did he know which animal was together with its min, and which animal was hishkes as darkai? That Nayach had no way of knowing. So for that, those man the Amrim say that either the Teva took in those that were pure and did not. So the Tahara and the not Tahara that the Gemara is talking about over there is not Lagabe, which is a kosher animal and a not kosher animal. It's talking about over there which one was Hishkes as Minay and why is Hishkes as Minay. And Rashi over here is talking about what was a kosher animal and not, and that Noyach knew because he learned Teva. So that sounds like a very good teretz, and it's really mashma like that from the lashon of the Gemara over there. Even though the Marashah says it's not mashma like that, I don't know why not. The lashon of the Gemara is mashma, it's addressing what was Hishkes as Darka. But the Marashah asks a different question. Obelamaisa, once the Teva took, you know, the right ones and left out the wrong ones, or the right ones came on their own and wrong ones, so then why do you need Noyach to have learned Teva? Right? You don't need both. Once you have that, you don't need Noyach's ideas in this. So the part of this Yosef brings down a teretz from the Sefer Mar Shmuel. He says the following. There's a Gemara that says, it's Gemara Menaches, Daf Chof Tes, that says three things that Moshe had a problem with in the Yonim of the Torah. And one of them was the Inyan of Shrotzim. What was Tamei? What was not a Sheretz? That was one of them. So this Sefer Mar Shmuel wants to say the following. There's another Gemara that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make Nisan Stam for no reason at all. It has to have a purpose. Memele, Noyach, to know which was a kosher animal, which was not a kosher animal, Noyach had to know the Torah. He had to know the Torah in order to know that. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the nace on certain things that Noyach was niskasha on? The same way Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had kashas and shailas, so Noyach knew everything perfectly. That's a very highly unlikely. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that the right ones came. Look at Chila, he wouldn't have made the nace. Look at Chila, try and figure it out on your own. But in case you have shailas for that, he made the nace. It comes out that you really needed both. Look at Chila, Hashem wants the person to do it on his own. You find a similar thing, Niskasha Moshe B'maisa HaMenayra. Look at Chila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him exactly how the Menayra is. Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha, he tried. He wasn't able to do it. At the end, he was Seimach al Hanes. But look at Chila, he was Seimach on himself. Same thing over here. Look at Chila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he taught to Noyach what's a Behemoth Torah, what's not a Behemoth Torah. But in case he was Niskash, he ended up making the Nes. It comes out, it stims with the Gemara. Vayovay Noyach ubonav v'ishtoy unishay bonav itoy el hateva mipnei mehamabu. He came into the Teva because of the water of the Mabul. So Rashi brings down Api the Medrash, Mipnei Meha Mabul. He came only because of the Mabul. Or because of the Mabul. Af Noyach Mikatnei Amonahoye. Noyach also was lacking somewhat in Emunah. Meinen, Beinu Meinen, Shiyove HaMabul. V'loi Nichnas L'Teva Ad Shedachku HaMayim. Until the water pushed him in. Now, this is a pliatsuma. Pliatsuma to say that Noyach was lacking in Amunah. First of all, Noyach got the Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He got the Nevuah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For 120 years, he's building the Teva, and people are making fun of him. What are you doing now? You're building a clubhouse. No clubhouse. There's going to be a marble. Oh, really? Yeah, okay. You know, and he withstood all the pressures, and he withstood the criticism, and he goes on, and he's moist and effish for this, and he gathered the animals, or he gathered the food for the animals. He's working on this heart. So how can you say he was mikatnei amon? And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a second debu, kiliyamim oy shiva, after the 7 days of the Avelus, Mr. Shelach, he was going to be a marble. See, you tell me that Noyach was mikatnei amon, it's a shtickle shver to the hair. So it's different pshatim. But I just saw now a pshat from Hagoyin of Simchas Yisrael Broides on Sal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. He says it's a double baru poshet that Noach did not have any suffix whatsoever that the Mabul is going to come. This Navi that found Chaim Be'enei Hashem, he believed 100% it's going to be a Mabul, there's no question about it. But Chazal, with their keen eye, were able to pick up a digduk in the pasuk that there was a tiny little bit lack of emuna, because it says meham abel. What does that mean? He zecher believed in the mabel, but he also came in because of the mabel, because the rain was coming down hard. Epis a little bit, it had some sort of an effect. A novi has to have a full 100% emuna that the nevuah is a metzias, and once there's a nevuah, it's like the nevuah is the rain coming down, and there's nothing else besides that. And you're not mourning spoil just because you see the rain coming down. Noach l'maisa, of course he went in because of the nevuah, but l'maisa he felt the rain, and that had epis a little bit of an influence on him. That was already a pagam in his emuna in the nevuah. If Nevuah is something which is a Metzius, then that has to be it. And the rain has nothing to do with it. Why? Because it could rain, it could end up being Gishmei Brach, right? And it could not rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring other sorts of Zachin, right? Other sorts of destructive forces. Over the Nevuah, that is it. And if the Torah says, Mibnei Meham Abel Vais Dais, that also had some sort of an influence on him. That means there was a shtick of lack of emuna in the nevuah itself. A dugma to this, the famous Gemara, the Masechtas Gittin, in the Sug of Kamtzin Bar Kamtzin. We've mentioned this before. Gemara says over there that the Romans laid siege to Yerushalayim, and on the inside were the Bar Yoinim that didn't want to let anybody go out to speak to the Romans. So Yochanan ben Zakkai, they came up with an etzah for him. He should be able to make it out. They pretended that he was dead, that they were making a levaya. And he went out and he came to greet the general at the time, the general Aspasianus Vespasian. When he came to him, he said, Shalom Alecha Malka, Shalom Alecha Malka. Peace on to you, king. He says, you're Chayiv Misa. Number one, I'm not a king. I'm just a general. And number two, if I am a king, so why didn't you come before him? So he says, no, you are a melech. 100% you're a melech. Why? Says some of the pasuk. V'ha'levonoin ba'adir yipoil. The levonoin will fall into the hands of an adir. V'ein levonoin ela Yerushalayim. V'ein adir ela melech. An adir is a melech. So someone that Yerushalayim falls into his hands, he's got to be a melech. What's happening here? Shalom Aleichem Melech. I'm not a king. What are you talking about? Pasuk says you're a king. Finished. How do you dare say that, you know, to someone that's in power and you're risking your life? To Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Pasuk, the drosha is a metzias. That's it. Simon Mela, it has to be like that. There's not no other zach. You are the king. And sure enough, in the middle of the conversation, a message came. Same thing the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainis, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. Okay, the Gemara, what do you mean? But the Pasuk says people heard that spayed him, and they embalmed him, and they buried him. What are you talking? So it says, Mikra Ani Dairish. I have a drasha from a Pasuk. A drasha from a Pasuk is the real Metzias. That is the way true Emunah is in Psukim and in Chazal. And Noach Zicher believed in the Nevuah. But if there was some added pressure because of the rain, in that Madrega, the Nevuah was not the full Metzias, and in that Madrega, he was Mekatan Hamon. That's the way Rav Simchas Yisrael Broide wants to say Pshat in this Rashi. By Yizkor Elikim Es Noach, there's called Hachaya, there's called Habehema Asher Itoi Bateva. Vayavar Elikim Ruach Ala Oretz, and Hashem brought a wind on the earth, by Yashoyku Hamayim, and the water was still. So there's a Maridike Meshech Chachma over here. Meshech Chachma says, what does it mean by Yizkor Elikim Es Noach? It's called Achayim. You can't say that this was the end of the Mabul, because in Cheshvin, they were in the Teva for another 6 months. This was only the halfway period of their being in the Teva. I show you my mind, they still remained in the Teva for a while. So what does it mean by Yisker Lekim Es Noyach? It means that there was a special Hashgacha over here. The heat from the outside was Noyach. From the marble, the sulfur, the humidity in the air, the poisons, the gases that came out because of the dead bodies and the decaying, decaying animals and decaying debris of what was going on there. It brought tremendous germs and tremendous sickness. So Mimela, they needed a tremendous hashgacha. And then it says, by Yisker Elokim Es Noyach, that there was a hashgacha, that they were there safely. So the question is, if Takya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, by Yashayku HaMayim, the water was still, so why Takya did they have to be in the Teva another 6 months? Let them go out as quickly as possible. What was the purpose of being there for another 6 months? So, Zot HaMashach HaChma, that the Teva, it housed the perfect Briyas. Those Shul Hishcha says Darkam, those that deserve to be saved, the Teva housed them. But there was one thing that still had to be done. These perfect Briyas, they grew up in an atmosphere of total Hashchas. Total Hashchas. Hagam, they take, they were able to maintain their Madrega, but it's saying the Daim is someone that's brought up in an isolated, pure atmosphere. From someone that's brought up in an atmosphere that is total Hashchas, it has an effect, it has to have an effect. Right? If Aveira becomes normal, it has to have an effect. Chofetz Chaim, the Heilig of Chofetz Chaim, first time he saw Chilul Shabbos, he broke down crying, he was inconsolable. Then he saw Chilul Shabbos a different time, a second time, and he was crying. And he said he was crying because now he wasn't crying as much as he was crying the first time. He said he sort of saw it already once. And Mimela, it didn't affect him as much, and that goof was something that he was mistar on. If somebody lives amongst Chaitim, it has to have an effect. On their hashkafa, on their outlook, on how they view Aveira, how repulsed are they by Aveira. Mimela, even after the water settled down, they had to remain in the Teva isolated. And here they were trained. Number one, they cared for each other. They were trained in chesed. If the world was a world full of chamas, they had to go to the opposite extreme, care for each other, to share with each other, to care for animals. The Midas HaChesed in the opposite extreme of what the world experienced before the Mabul. They had to be Pirish Ishmei Yishti and remain that way for a long time. Because the Taibul was so great in the Dar HaMabul, they had to detoxify themselves from such an atmosphere. V'chaheno, they're staying in the Teva, it's very easy to destroy a world. Hashem's destroyed Sodom in seconds. Right? And the destruction of the world through the Mabul, it took a short amount of time. But to rebuild the world and to be able to reinstitute those original principles in an oifen where chait is repulsive and it's totally, totally not tolerated, for that to have to remain in the teva, that to remain on that for another 6 months, and on that it says, Vayiskor Lekim Es Noyach, to save them from the disease and to save them from the discomfort, that was the special hashgacha that they experienced at that time. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, on the pasuk u'mishpichoseihem yatzu, she says, Amar of Yochanan u'mishpichoseihem v'loihem. They went out u'mishpichoseihem, but it doesn't say heim yatzu. So the Meshech Chachma teaches, they didn't come out of the table. The ones that came out of the table were different people than the ones that went in. They became a beriach, a briach hadasha inside the teva. So the mishpachay saying, "Abav loyheng." And also, the reason why I had to stay there so long is because only the Bairei Olam was able to be made what their pnimius was. So they could not go out of the teva until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, go out of the teva. Once he was able to see their pnimius, he told them, tzei min hateva. And only then were they able to go out. This is what the Meshech Chachma, the way he teaches this up. Vayishalach es ha'oirev, vayetze yotzei v'shoiv, ad yivoyches ha'mayim mi'al-ha'aretz. He sent out the oirev, went, and he came back until the water dried up from the land. So Rashi says, yotzei v'shoiv, And he didn't go on the shlichus because he was chayshid Noach that Noach was going to take away his mate. Now, why b'chlal did Noach send out a bird to know if the water was dying down? I mean, he wasn't able to leave the teva anyway until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, like we just said, right? He needed rishus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what would he gain by knowing that the water is settling down? So I saw that the Shari Aaron brings down from the Paneach Roza that Noach had to know how much longer B'derech HaTeva is it going to be, because he had to give out the food to the animals. He had to know exactly, should he minimize the portion? Should he allow them to eat B'archavit? Is it already getting close? Ultimately, he needed the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he had to do his share and help to feed the animals b'derech ha-teva. So Mimele wanted to know b'erech how much time will be left, so he'll know exactly how to apportion the different portions to the animals and to the b'nei yodim. I saw brought down Sefer L'Sitcha Elyon, and brings down Hashem of Zedel Epstein Zatzal. He said that even though he was totally in the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was already raring to go, Masayava, and I'll be able already to rebuild the world. So, Enoch and Ami, it didn't really mean much, but he himself had that urge to go out and to rebuild the world. So beside himself, he wanted to know, even though he knew that this was not the ultimate answer. And I was thinking to myself that we're really the same way. Mashiach is not going to come until HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula. The Afal Pi Kein, we're looking out for Simon, and maybe he's coming. Maybe you already see the footsteps of Mashiach. So Noach was waiting to see the footsteps of their emergence from the Teva so that he could start building. Now another question which is asked by the Mefarshim is, why did he send out the Oirev B'davkin? Oirev is an Oif Tameh. You want to send the Oif on a Shlichus, he should send out, like, look at me, he sent out the Yaina later on. Why did he send out the Oirev L'chitchil? So the Arachayim HaKadosh says that he did not send the Oirev on the Shlichus L'chitchil. He sent out the Oirev because the Oirev was Chayte in the Teva. There were three Minim, three creatures that were Chayte in the Teva. They lived with their mates. That was the Oirev and the Kelev and Chum. So the Oirev, because it lived with its mate in the Teva, he sent it out, chased it out. He couldn't do the same to Chum and to the dog. They couldn't fly, right? So they would, they wouldn't make it. But the Oif, at least he could send off, and say. And that's why it was Holoich v'Shoiv. The Arachayim Taisas tried getting back in, but he sent it back out again. He didn't want it in the Teva. Tozok, the Arachayim HaKadosh. But I saw brought down from the Medrash Yalkut Ruveni. Very interesting the Medrash. Amr Rav Chia, Lama Sholach Asa Oirev. Why did you send the Oirev? He was being Maramis something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Shalom, you're always a Rachaman. You turned into an Achzer like the Oirev did. This was a thing that he shot back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yaisi asked the question, I says, Noach was his tzaddik tamim. So how was he able to be chutzpidik like that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, Am Rav Chia may reik tzaray, ditznan ein donen es ha'odam al tzaray. When a person is in tzar, you can't judge the person. So he took his tzar. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yishan, what happened to you? You were a rachman, how did you turn like an achzer, like an oirei? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer Noach? So it brings that also. Tana Rabbana. Maheshev lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Noach. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer Noach? When Noach left the Teva, and he saw that the oilim is totally destroyed, and you can imagine the shock, what the world looked like. Total soyu b'vayu. Mamish, he saw the destruction. He saw the oilim charev, he started crying. He said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you called a rachum. You should have had rachmanas on the brias. What did you do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Roye Shoite. Shepherd, that's a Shoite. Now you're talking to me like that. Why didn't you say anything when I said, Vani hinani maybe as hamabel? When you heard that you're going to be saved, it wasn't Laila Libcha, the Tsar of the world. Why didn't you cry then? You cried too late? Chavetz Chaim used to say, Yizel Chocham Haroya Es Hanoylid. Not that you're able to see the results of later on. You have to feel the results right now. You have to be royed as if it's happening right now. So had Noach, when he first heard about it, he'd feel the results of the Churban then he would have cried. You should have felt it then. So Ma'aseh Shehoya, famous Ma'aseh Shehoya, that the Chofetz Chaim was once by an Asifa of Rabbonim in Vilna. So he was staying over in an inn together with Rabbi Avram Kalmanovich, who was at the time the Rak of a Rav. In the middle of the night, Chofetz Chaim gives a scream, Rak of a Rav! V'zoy kent yishlofen! How can you, it was in Vilna, how can you sleep? In Vilna, Yiddish blood is going to be spilled because they're Mechal Shabbos. The markets are open on Shabbos. How can you sleep? Mr. Chofetz Chaim felt it then. He felt the churban of World War II then. He couldn't sleep then. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tevei from Noach. When I said it, why didn't you scream then? You didn't feel it then. You should have felt it then. That was the time against Noach. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to him. Dor HaFloge says, Vayoyimru, Hova nivne lonu ir umigdov. Let us build a city and a tower. Let's make for ourselves a big name. So Stipler in the Sefer Chaya Yoyim, Stipler Zatzal, he asks the question. It sounds like we're talking about primitive people that portion were brainless. You're going to build a tower up to Shemayim to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you, Meshuggah? You know, what's your Havamina? Like, what are you thinking? Sounds like these people were nuts. But that can't be. These people were very capable people. They built a tower that was quite high. According to the Cheshbon, I think one of the Midrashim was 50 miles high. 50 miles high, according to one of the Cheshbonis. Let's say it was half that. But they were capable people. And they saw Noach, and they knew about the Mabel. The closer you were to the original Bria, you were much smarter. So what in the world was going on over there? What were they thinking when they built this Migdal Babel? There's different Mahalachim. The Stipler says, you see from over here, the Gevaldige Koyach of propaganda. If you start advertising something and hacking this thing weiter and weiter and weiter and spreading it amongst the people, you could take the most ridiculous idea and you'll have an effect on the people. And he gives a mashal. He says, about 100 years ago, somebody came up with a game where you kick a ball into a goal, you know, and, you know, it's a game. So then somebody went weiter and said, you know, why don't we make a whole thing out of it, a ganze Meise, a whole contest, and we'll have different teams or whatever. So hundreds and thousands, millions of people around the world, soccer around the world is much bigger than football and baseball over here. They get violent, mamish. I remember a Maisa Shahoy. I remember a Maisa that happened in the news. There was some championship between Ecuador and Chile. And one of the players, by mistake, kicked the ball into his own goal, and the other team won. That night, a group of 50 people came to the guy's house and shot him dead. You lost the game for us! You know what he did to us? He shot him dead. So what in the world is going on over here? A guy came up with an idea and they spread it and there's advertisements and there's sports talk shows and they talk about it a whole day, hundreds, thousands, millions, and there's advertisements all over and all kinds of products that are sold for the soccer championships, but those things, same thing with the World Series and whatever. And Super Bowl, Mamish. This is what propaganda could do for a stupid idea if you think about it. Listen, I was a sports fan like anybody else, right? Of the mice, after all is said and done. You know, what did I gain by the Yankees winning the World Series? You know, it was said and done. It's a game. It's a game that through propaganda is spread. A few years ago, I was driving here in Muncie, and I see a person walking on Route 59 all by himself, carrying a briefcase. I'm not going to say who it is.
a yid that mamish is a tzaddik yisoy olam, that mamish is involved in tzedakis that supports who knows how many aniyim. He's walking by himself. And at that very time, the Super Bowl was going on. And the newspapers, the reporters were tripping over each other to interview this player and that player and hear what he has to say and what he has to say. I'm thinking to myself, look at the contrast. This yid that is mamish kodesh kodoshim, that he's walking by himself with a briefcase, nobody pays any attention to him. And these lunkheads, who's your goggles is that they could crash through carrying a pigskin, you know, these, their mamish, what does he have to say? Like, what is your opinion? And what are the mamish? And on politics also. They become big experts on politics also because they could carry the ball on through the goal line. This is what propaganda does. You know, we see today what propaganda does. You know, all the idea, the woke, the whole woke idea, and all these mishigasan of the world that's topsy-turvy, it's only because of that. And there was the, you know, Stalinism, you know, communism, all of these things was based on propaganda. I once met an old Russian woman that had just come from Russia recently. I asked her, what was it like under Stalin? What was it like? She described to me. Ui, so you've been sehr gut. You've been sehr gut. You can't arbeiten. You can't, think myself. Millions of people died, people were killed, Yidden were killed, and in her mind it was very good. That is the power of propaganda. And that's what happened over here. Someone came up with this idea, and they spread the word, and yes, we're going to get up there, we're going to build the tower, and we're going to fight. And if you repeat the lie often enough, it spreads and it takes hold. And that's a limit to us. You know, even though, Baruch Hashem, we don't fall prey to these meshugim and meshigasim, but we're affected by advertisements. You know, we see the advertisements and the higher standards of living because you have to have this and you have to have that and the chasna has to be like this and this new product you have to have. So we have to realize we could take a lesson from the Dar HaFlogeh, how we have to isolate ourselves and not to be in a spoil just because the propaganda says that it has to be like that. Have a good Shabbos.